Good morning. I'd like to welcome all the visitors that we have with us today. We've got a number of them. Some are visiting from out of town. Some are here from within Las Vegas area. Some are from Henderson. We'd like to extend every welcome to you. And if there's anything we can do, please let us know. We feel very honored that you chose to come and worship God with us this morning, and it's our blessing. Have a great announcement. Many of you know Albert DeMeo, sitting right back here. He was baptized this past Sunday evening. He's been attending and coming to classes, and Devin has been studying with him, and we have a new brother in Christ, and we're glad that he put on his Lord in baptism. Amen. Today, I'd like for us to look at some scriptures and talk about being clean. That picture didn't show up as good as I was hoping. Little kid just sitting there in a mud puddle. I can remember growing up, there was a lot of times I came in looking just about like that. Mud or blood or both, covered from head to toe. And I played kind of on the rougher side. And so it could have been just about anything. I know many of you have had jobs where you've come in at the end of the day either with dirt or grease or, you know, mud or something all over you, and it's nice to get clean. It may be fun to play in the mud. It may be fun to get dirty and play rough, but it's also nice to get clean at the end of the day, to get in the shower and to get that off of you. But we're going to be talking mostly spiritual cleanness today. And because that's what we've got to be, spiritually clean in God's eyes. Our scripture reading, Kurt read our scripture today. It was taken from Matthew, the 23rd chapter, and Jesus was talking to scribes and Pharisees. And starting in verse 25, it says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites." Now, the scribes and the Pharisees were some of the big religious people of the time. And Jesus is everybody looked at them. By the way they dressed, they were set apart in society. You could tell the scribes and the Pharisees. And Jesus is calling them, "You're hypocrites." He goes on to say, "For you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside of them may be clean also." You know, what good is having a cup? You scrub and scrub and scrub and get the outside all clean, but inside it's all gunky. Residue from everything that you've had in it before. You know, Jesus is talking spiritually about this with us. That what good is being clean on the outside if you're not clean inside where it counts? You pour coffee or some ice water, some in that filthy cup, it's just going to be all filthy and dirty. Oh yeah, I've scrubbed it on the outside. Well, you're drinking the stuff that's inside. Jesus goes on to say, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness." You look at some of these tombs, and they were kept up on the outside. They were whitewashed. They were clean. They were pretty. But inside, can you imagine you open it up and the stench, the decaying, the rotting bodies, bones, totally different things. On the outside, you have an appearance, but inside, it's just full of decay and death. Jesus is talking about that spiritually, and he wants not just scribes and Pharisees, wants us to be clean. Wants our insides to match our outsides. We take a shower, we scrub, we get the dirt off of us, but does it match the inside? Jesus wants them to match. He wants us to be born again. Those fresh, young, innocent babies. I tell you, there's not a lot of things that smell better than a little baby. That baby magic smell, that powder smell of a little baby. This issue Jesus talked about with Nicodemus. In John 3, starting in verse 1, it says, "There was a man of the Pharisees," one of the kind of people that Jesus had been talking to in Matthew. "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, 'Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him.' Jesus answered and said to him, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.' Nicodemus said to him, 'How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?'" A good, valid question. Nicodemus is talking physical. Jesus is talking spiritual. Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again." Jesus wants us to be fresh and clean, and to be born again. And we have to be transformed. We have to be transformed and changed. Jesus was talking spiritual. Nicodemus was talking physical. We have to change ourselves I didn't see it, but I think there was a movie out. In fact, I don't even know the last movie I saw, but it was a talkie. I do know that. There was a movie out, The Transformers. I guess that they can transform from one machine to another and so forth. The kids probably know. I should have Chase explain it to me or something. But God wants us to be transformed, to be changed, to not be that same old, unclean self that we were at one time. And we were. We were. Paul says in Romans 12, verse 2, he's talking to the Christians in Rome, and he says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." We're not supposed to be conformed to this world. I remember growing up, my mom had a whole bunch of those Jell-O molds. I never quite understood why you hang them on the wall. But I guess the decoration and stuff. And I also never understood why you would want Jell-O shaped like a fish. But, you know, I don't know. As long as I guess it didn't taste like fish, I guess you're okay. But you put the Jell-O in those molds, and it conforms to whatever mold you're putting it in. And Jesus says, don't, or Paul says, don't be conformed. Don't be conformed to the world around you. We've got to live in this world. There's no getting around it. We're gonna be here during our life. We will. But don't be conformed to this world. But instead, be transformed. Change. If you're gonna change, don't be changed by conforming and looking like something else. Transform yourself so that we can prove what is good and acceptable in the perfect will of God. In 1 Corinthians 6, Paul says, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God?" It's very straightforward. There's no way to that's your interpretation. No, that's exactly the interpretation. The unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. Such were some of you. But you were washed. You were sanctified. But you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. We have been cleansed. We used to be unclean. We used to be in a category that is not going to inherit the kingdom of God. But we've changed. We were washed. We were sanctified. We were justified. Let's look at those words. Washed. We were cleansed. We were cleaned. Purified. Sanctified means to set apart for a sacred purpose. Paul's saying, we are sanctified. We're set apart to do the will of God. We were justified. Justified is a release from condemnation. We were on death row. And we were released.
Amen.
We were on death row. We were released from condemnation. Paul said, and some were such of you, but you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, he says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. When we are in Christ, we're new, we're clean, we're justified, we're sanctified for God. We have grace. It's mentioned today in class about grace. I'm so glad we have grace. But shall we continue in sin so we get more grace? Paul addresses that in Romans, the 6th chapter. What shall we say then? Paul has just been talking about the grace that we get from God. And the more we need, the more we get. There's an endless amount that God gives us. We can't do enough. That leftover God gives us through Jesus. What shall we say? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Basically, should we sin more so we can get more grace? Paul says, certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore, we were buried with Him through baptism into death. That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. And that is that comparison of dying, being buried in the water of baptism, and rising up in newness of life. Just like Jesus died on the cross, He was buried and rose from the dead. There's consequences, good and bad, for this. That if we do make that transformation, if we do cleanse ourselves or not, there are consequences. One of the good ones, Revelation 2:10, remain faithful until death, and I will give you a crown of life.
Amen.
These are the words of Jesus. You remain faithful until death. Not temporarily. Not do a certain amount of good things. Remain faithful until death. And I will give you a crown of life. There are some negative consequences if we don't. In 2 Peter, the second chapter, starting verse 20, Peter says, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them according to the true proverb. A dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow, having washed, to her wallowing in the mire. One of the things I hate the most. I don't mind being dirty. Don't mind coming in covered head to toe, sweaty, stinky. Come in, you get, take that off, get in the shower, get all clean. Smelling like that baby again. Because I use baby magic. It's good for adults too. And then you're clean to put those same clothes on. That shirt, they smell you two blocks away. To put that shirt that is just soaking wet with sweat and dirt and grease and mud or whatever, to put that back on after being clean, I hate that. God hates it. Jesus hates it. He died for us not to do that. Hebrews 10:26. It's kind of a sobering thought. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. If we continue willfully, we're going to stumble. And we've talked about this many times before. There's a difference in sinning and living in sin. We're going to stumble. But luckily, because of grace and repentance and prayer, we can continue presenting ourselves clean to God. We need to be cleansed through baptism. That's where we come into contact with the blood of Christ. We need to transform ourselves, not just be dunked and keep being the same old dirty person that we were. And we need to remain clean through repentance. And I'd like to end and ask you the same question that Ananias asked Paul in Acts 22:16. And now why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. If you have not been baptized, you're still dirty. Arise, wash, be baptized, wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Be clean. Remain clean. Keep clean. If you need to respond to the invitation through baptism, if you need prayers, if you need to repent, that's between you and God. Repent. Don't let another minute go by staying in that life. If you're looking for a church home and would like to identify with us here at South Valley, please identify with us. Don't keep looking around. Be here with us. We'd love to have you. Whatever your need, if you need to respond to the invitation, come forward while Daryl leads us in the invitation song.